Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Off The Ball, GAA. Does anyone here think Newell's going to win the All-Ireland final? No, thank you. So that question is nonsense. If our supporters want to enjoy it, let them enjoy it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Green Scene on Off The Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
All right, welcome back to another episode of The Green Scene here on Off The Ball. Delighted to be joined by Ben Symes, Matthew Brennan. It's been a while, lads. How are we all doing?
Yeah, great. Watching loads of football.
Yeah,
That was why our hiatus happened. We're just too caught up in the World Cup.
Yeah, you sound like an excited child.
Yeah. I am like an excited child. This World Cup semi final week. This is big times. Like, it's big news. There's lots going on.
Yeah, games 101 and games 102 to take place over tonight and Wednesday night. It's been a fairly busy couple of weeks in all the world of Irish football. We've had the Ireland game obviously moved out of Dublin to Bačka Topola in Serbia, the Ireland-Israel game. That's the home game slated for Dublin. And then the away game is in Debrecen in Hungary. So we've been covering that on the shows over the last couple of weeks. Ben, you were at the EGM last week.
I was,
I'll just ask you about that briefly. How was that?
I'd love to say it was interesting, but you kind of know what the outcome is going to be when you're going in something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting to see the amount that voted against it. It's quite it was 68 voted for it. That's not really a high number to be voting for something that the FAI are putting to their members. The wording has changed from the original motion that's put forward. It's completely flipped on its head. There's actually no mention of the word Israel or Palestine in the motion. It was interesting, but as I said, like, you kind of think these things are going to be a foregone conclusion when you're walking into them. It was interesting to hear some of the thoughts from certain people that were put forward in it. I thought that was quite interesting and maybe a little bit telling, but kind of as expected with the result.
Those games will take place in the autumn, and pretty terrible situation for all involved.
We had John O'Shea actually on Off The Ball Breakfast this morning. If you do want to go and seek that out, have a listen.
Yeah.
He spoke about that as well, about the situation not being ideal, obviously, and about how the fans, I suppose, now, and the fans and the wider public and in general, that there is going to be a bit of expectation, or sort of expectation is the right word, on the players to kind of make some form of stance here. But obviously, that'll be totally up to them, and they'll be backed by everyone above them. Back to the point where the people that far above them don't actually have to do anything.
Yeah, they've been kind of backed into a corner by the government, UEFA, and different things. But yeah, we are live on YouTube at the minute, so if you want to skive off work, or if you're out enjoying the sun, we're live here on YouTube. And obviously, if you missed us, you get us back on YouTube, or you can get us on your Off The Ball podcast network, preferably through the Go Loud app if possible. John O'Shea was also talking this morning about someone who's obviously going to have a key role to play over the next 2 year cycle, let's say, onto the European Championships. Seamus Coleman has been training with Sheffield United, and actually what we might do is we might get John O'Shea's answer here on Seamus Coleman speaking to Endicott and Off The Ball Breakfast this morning.
Yeah, well, I think that's the plan, as I'm aware of, that he wants to keep playing.
Right.
That's his motivation, to keep playing. But if he decides otherwise, listen, I'm sure there'll be conversations to be had. But I think, like I mentioned, Seamus is on the right either way. to make sure himself and his decision, maybe there could be clubs interested in him and he doesn't want to move that far away, or he doesn't want to move here or to a different country or whatever the case may be. So let's just wait and see. But he's definitely a huge asset to the team, playing wise first and foremost. And then we'll see after that.
Yeah, that was John O'Shea speaking on Off the Wall Breakfast this morning about Seamus Coleman. Obviously, he got a huge role to play over the next couple of months. This next Nations League campaign, anyway, I think.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he didn't hang around until the Euros. If he's going to commit to coming back for the Nations League and, you know, whatever else comes between now and, well, when's the Euros? 2028. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be weird if he didn't. Notwithstanding the fact that he could pick up an injury or something that could spell the end of his career, obviously, at that stage now. And the Sheffield United thing is interesting because we were actually having a look at this morning. He's obviously been at Everton, like living in Liverpool, all that sort of stuff. Sheffield's not particularly close. It's not miles away. It is literally miles away, but it's about 2 hours up the road or so. So it's not, there must be a reason why he's there. I couldn't find any link other than like a loose kind of Tom Cannon is at Sheffield United and was once at Everton. I doubt they're the best of mates.
Yeah.
Close enough for him to be going and training there. I don't know if you have any insight on that as to why he might be training there, other than the fact that they might be looking to sign him.
Well, there's a few clubs interested in him in that area, in that neck of the woods.
Has been linked to Coventry as well, obviously playing in the Premier League next season.
Yeah, Coventry in Premier League. A couple of other championship clubs, Wrexham are a name floated about, which are another one in the same area. And Blackburn Rovers have offered him a contract as well. So, like, you'd imagine he wants to keep playing, and playing football is to be fit. Like, I know Emer said before, he knows now that he doesn't need to be playing 90 minutes every week, but he can't help but think it would help at that age if he's at least playing every second week, playing 90 minutes of football. And you would imagine that the pace of the championship, he'd get that slightly more than playing 90 minutes of football with Coventry in the Premier League, which you'd imagine is going to be a lot of backs to the wall stuff defending. The only thing there is that he's got the Frank Lampard link.
And there'd be a coaching role. I know he probably he's a coaching role there at Everton whenever he wanted to, but there was that aspect. There would be that aspect that goes with Coventry too. And the thing is as well, I know he has come into the last couple of camps without having played, and he's done pretty well. He's held up okay. There is still a danger though, and logic would suggest that the less you do, the more likely you are to seize up and for something to go astray at any given moment, and you want to kind of limit the possibility of that happening.
Yeah, we should say, like, he is obviously the ultimate pro, and is doing every bit of work on the training ground himself, but there is no substitute for match fitness. There's nothing that can cover that.
No. I think essentially he's going to be training and playing to, you know, at a club somewhere, and obviously giving his all, but he's got Ireland probably at the forefront of his mind, that he wants to be fit for all the camps and to have a really good and telling effect on Ireland's qualification hopes for Euro 2028. It's been quiet-ish on the transfer front for some Irish players. The first one I want to ask, and maybe we've talked about him a lot, obviously, over the last couple of months. And I've noticed on the old AZ Alkmaar social channels, there's a very lean and mean-looking Troy Parrott banging in some goals. I think they had a friendly, or maybe an in-house friendly there the other day. And he's all decked out in his AZ Alkmaar gear. He's still there. They're getting ready for a European run. What's the latest on Parrott? Do we think he might end up staying in Holland?
You would like to think this is just a World Cup thing.
Yeah.
And it's been delayed till after the World Cup, till whatever club he's going to decide to make their move. I think a couple of months ago I probably thought, is it the worst thing in the world for Troy Parrott to stay at AZ Alkmaar? And I still don't think it's the worst thing in the world to have another season there, banging another 30 goals and you're the man and you put up your transfer value up another 10 million. But at the same time, he's with no international tournament on the horizon for another 2 years and no kind of real Ireland games for another at least year, it's probably the perfect time to make that jump and have a bit of time to settle in and settle yourself at a new club at wherever he's going to, likely outside of the Netherlands, and have that time to settle in. And if it doesn't have the best start in the world, then so be it. You're not worrying about anything. You have your time to bed in and go again. I wouldn't be worried about him not getting a move yet.
Yeah.
I like the World Cup, as we know, throws off people's summer plans so much. I know there might be people listening going, oh, well, look, yeah, Youri Tielemans is playing in the World Cup and he's about to get a move, and a couple others are as well. But no, I would like to think this is just the World Cup taking its course and Troy Parrott gets his move at the end of it.
Yeah, needs some certain moves to happen in certain places to free up those gaps in squads and certain positions. The AC Milan links were quite big maybe a couple of months ago. Ruben Amorim has gone in and taken charge of Milan. I think they have signed a striker.
Signed Gonçalo Ramos, yeah.
Gonçalo Ramos, of course. So I think that avenue might be closed off.
I tend to agree, yeah. My only thing with it, right, and I think you're probably right, I would imagine it is something to do with the World Cup and the trickle-down effect of someone moving somewhere and someone else going elsewhere. I wouldn't want it to go on too long. I do think he is going to move. I do think that's going to happen. But I wouldn't want it to be one that happens right at the end of summer and he's signing for a team maybe a week out from when their league campaign gets underway. Mm. So I think it's important when you're moving to a new team to have a bit of time, not necessarily in an entire pre-season, but just to get acquainted with your surroundings, not having to be worrying about too much stuff off the pitch, you know, which is obviously a real thing because there's real people moving to new places.
Yeah.
You asked, started off the question by asking if he would stay in Holland. I think there's a chance he stays in Holland, not necessarily with AZ Alkmaar. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that's one that could happen later on in the window because it wouldn't require as much, I suppose, planning as moving to a different country would. But, you know, it's a similar thing with, it's a little bit different when it happens in the middle of a season, but Andy Moran signing for Preston about 2 days to go in the window and he kind of got little minutes here and there and only really found his feet towards the end of the season. You would like to think if you know, Troy Parrott was to get a move, it would happen as early as possible in this window with the World Cup obviously factored in.
Could he be the man to go and reinvigorate a pretty terrible Ajax team? You know, Ajax kind of go up and down in cycles, like, as you know, a huge club obviously in the Netherlands, but I haven't seen him linked there. I've seen him linked to PSV.
Well, they've obviously lost Saibari.
Saibari's gone to Bayern Munich, so that could be another avenue where he goes. The Green Scene and Off the Ball is with Cadbury's, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams. Alan Brown is without a club, and Matthew Brennan, leader of the Alan Brown fan club. Where do we think, is he going to end up in the English Championship again? Or
I'd like to see him go back to Borough, I think Borough will have a bit of unfinished business with how you know, their campaign ended up going and the amount of opportunities they did have to get promotion, some of which earned, some of which handed to them, and ultimately found himself back in the Championship. He was a very important cog for them, particularly in the middle part of the season. Kind of took a little bit of time to find his feet, was like a lot of appearances off the bench. When he first signed, because he signed signed quite late on in the window. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he had been hanging around with Sunderland, maybe with the intention of getting a couple of minutes off the bench for them in the Premier League. And that obviously was, I imagine, was told him that probably not going to happen. So got the move and had a very good season. Tailed off a little bit towards the end. Didn't quite bounce back after his mishap, his kind of poor performances for the Republic of Ireland when he did come on.
Yeah.
In those games against Czechia and North Macedonia. He did obviously get a really good assist in his first game back from Middlesbrough. I remember watching that going, where the hell was this? But I wouldn't mind seeing him going back to Borough. I think that might happen. I think Kim Hellberg's fairly fond of him. He's so versatile. He can play wherever he wants, so he'd be useful in a system like that. But he'll get a move. He's not going to be without a club.
The Northern Echo reporting that Brown was obviously allowed to leave Sunderland, but a return to Middlesbrough is said to be unlikely. Yeah. One player that has left Middlesbrough as well and from an Irish persuasion is Alex Gilbert.
Yeah.
He was forced to withdraw for that camp in Spain. A little creative midfielder he seems to have developed into.
Yeah, to a degree. He can play a bit deeper as well, which is, I got really excited about that when Kim Hellberg did come in. He was playing as like a six almost his first game against Hull. He was brilliant, scored a goal. They won 4-1. Obviously, Hull went on to get promoted and beat Middlesbrough in that playoff final. But
Hull being promoted is mental. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
What are we going to do there? Like,
crazy. See, they signed some Brazilian wonder, or they're looking at signing some Brazilian wonder kid lad for like 25 million called Mech or something like that.
Mech.
Yeah.
Like brilliant.
Crazy. Very
like
so
Anderson Talisca?
Yeah, he was getting linked as well. Yeah,
that'd be crazy.
I was thinking about like looking at the World Cup going like Hull are such a World Cup like reactionary, let's sign him. Like I was thinking Julian Quiñones is such a Hull sign.
Well, yeah, take it forward.
Yeah.
We did like five players get a move from World Cup, and I actually one of them was Hassem Hassan, the Egypt winger.
Oh, what a player.
What a player. Like,
that's quite a Hull signing too.
That's like, I had said if West Ham didn't get relegated, that's such a West Ham signing, but like they are. So I was like, maybe Everton, Hull,
Hull have signed Egyptian players in the past, El Mohammadi. Did Amir Zaki play for Hull for a while? Or have I just...
Good question, you're testing me there, I'm not sure.
I know he's at Wigan, but obviously. So it'd be interesting to see where Alex Gilbert ends up.
I think could see Gilbert maybe staying in the Championship, but maybe at a promoted side or something like that. And then you're looking at, who did you mention, Will Smallbone. I'm fascinated to see what happens there.
Yeah.
Could be a move abroad for Will Smallbone. The only thing, and you have to think about this sort of stuff. He's only after getting married, obviously, which is well documented. If they've settled down somewhere, you have to factor those things in as well. But he could be a player I think might thrive, as Ben would say, on the continent.
Yeah, one player that I would be interested to see how he gets on, and I know he's not playing for the Republic of Ireland, but Owen Kenny's gone from the League of Ireland to Portsmouth. And is obviously probably one of the Northern Ireland under 21 stars. You've watched a lot of him this season, Ben. Will he have an impact at Portsmouth?
Owen Kenny has developed into a real player. When he came onto the scene at first, he was kind of known for being Stephen Kenny's son. You just kind of have that unfortunate tag. But he's developed, almost at the start, we didn't really know, was he a striker, was he a winger, was he meant to play as a second striker? He fully developed and made that role for him on that right-hand side. And his dribbling with the ball is outstanding. He's not the quickest player in the world, which I maybe would, that's my concern going over the Championship, is he's not the quickest player in the world. But his composure and technique on the ball have come on length and bounds. He has end product at the end of it. He's gone over to Portsmouth. John Hughes is a brilliant manager. Messino was a brilliant
manager.
He
is brilliant.
I'm thinking Eustace. Was Eustace there before?
He's been at all them type of clubs.
Messino is a brilliant manager, though.
He is, though. He's great.
Even though I couldn't remember his name. So I'm
it's fine.
I would love to see him work under him at Portsmouth. I would fear he could be looking at a loan move out to potentially a League One club, potentially another Championship club that are around that neck of the woods in the table. But he's no doubt earned his move, and it's pity Dundalk are only going to get 40,000 for him. That was the release clause.
But they are getting money for a compensation money on top of that for development.
It's development fee, But I saw some people kind of talking about that move and saying, would they have gone and signed him if he wasn't 40,000? 40,000 is nothing to a club like that.
Yeah.
If he was 200,000, would they have gone and signed him? I think he has earned it. I think he earned that move. And he's blossomed into a player. I just don't know, is the jump to the Championship, but that's a big jump.
That is a big jump.
That's a huge jump.
Played a lot of senior football.
He has. It would not be surprising, though, to see him add a team in League 2 come January or something like that. And that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either. He's got a 3-year contract. As you mentioned, they haven't invested a huge amount of money in him, but he's there now. And he's got an opportunity to go and make a name for himself, really. On the Irish front as well, he's going to be in direct competition with Frank Arume as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, who's at Portsmouth and hasn't really had the opportunity.
Milena Galli?
Milena Galli was only on loan there last year, so I'm not sure what's actually going to happen with him. That's a really interesting one to keep an eye on, too.
Yeah.
Obviously, Luton can get promoted. Just the Frank Arume thing, he's been injured pretty much the entire time he's been at Portsmouth.
Yeah.
So if he can manage to get over that, which is, up in the air.
Just on Owen Kenny, I think he has developed. I think I'd heard about him kind of years ago because I'm from Carrickmacross, and a couple of lads, younger lads, would have played with him and with Dundalk underage teams. And let's say maybe Owen Kenny might have been player 13 or 14 on a squad, and then after one season he was maybe player 7 and 8 in the squad, and now he just kept on developing. I think that's a really encouraging sign for his career, especially now he goes to England. He's played all these games in the first division, he's played quite a few games in the Premier Division, he's played against some really good players, he's played against Shamrock Rovers and Bohemians every week. And can he continue that gradual development when he goes over across to the UK? I think he's shown the evidence that he can here in Ireland, so I can't see why he can't do that when he goes to the Championship. So, here's hoping from an all-Ireland perspective that he does well.
Hello, it's Owen Chehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new.
That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Two more players I just want to briefly touch on before we kind of move on the old transfer news. One player that has made a move is Grady McDonnell, who we watched for the Ireland under 17s. That was last year, wasn't it? In the World Cup. And he's obviously Canadian born. He was playing at a Club Brugge and he's gone to Nottingham Forest. I don't know how much of an impact he will have with their first team. They've obviously Forest have gone for Oliver Glasner. He's the new coach. By all accounts, it looks like Marinakis, the owner, wants Glasner to take Forest to the next level and be like a team competing in Europe, maybe every season, like somewhere like what Aston Villa are right now. I don't know if McDonnell making that move from Europe into back to the UK is a good thing, but
I think when he was at Club Brugge as well, it got to the point where they were aware he wasn't going to sign a new deal, and they sort of distanced him a bit. He wasn't really playing
because they paid a lot of money for him.
Yeah, they paid
200,000 from Vancouver FC. It was a Canadian Premier League record for a guy who was 15 at the time.
So you're right, it will be interesting. Forest, I suppose, aren't stereotypically a team that you would immediately associate with
developing young talent.
Their players from their academy.
Well, no, traditionally, yes, they would have, especially.
But not this modern Nottingham Forest.
This modern iteration of Nottingham Forest is kind of completely at odds at what Brian Clough, Paul Hart, all those coaches.
Now, the only thing.
And they actually develop a lot of Irish talent too, obviously, Roy Keane being the most obvious example.
The only thing that we probably should add is the fact that Andy Reid is their transition guy.
Yeah.
Basically helps young players when they are making that transition to senior football, so that's a positive in that he's Irish. But
he's also going in there at the perfect time. Like when you've a brand new manager coming in, like a manager is going to want to take a look at everyone. Mm. Like he's going to want to look at academy lads and senior lads. Mm-hmm. He's going to be training with them. Like that is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's up to you then to make the impact and to show that you're good enough to do it. Like I actually don't mind the move at all.
Yeah.
I think even just going to. Like what he kind of like, he said he ran out of road at that club net at the Next Generation Academy with Club Brugge. And I just think, like, if you're going to a club that want to be on the up, you're going in a brand new time with a very highly regarded manager who's going to be looking at all you. Like the worst thing that happens is you get a loan move out to League One.
I
don't mind this move at all.
Okay. We'll see what happens there. And just lastly, Mason Melia obviously made a senior debut during the summer with Ireland. He's going to be reportedly assessed by the Spurs manager Roberto Zerbi in pre-season, while a lot of Spurs players are away at the World Cup and still on their holidays after being at the tournament. Mason Melia most likely to go out on loan, and most likely to go out on loan somewhere down the English football pyramid.
Yeah, considering they have no European football at all. I mean, it really does just depend on what they see in him and whether he's someone they would rather just keep around the academy and learn the ways of Roberto De Zerbi and that sort of stuff. And
famously, it hadn't gone well for Evan Ferguson.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, they're different players. I don't know.
But both highly rated, coming from the League of Ireland. You know
what you have here is like Melia has played over 100 appearances. Made over 100 appearances in senior first team football.
Played in Europe.
You can't regress from that. And like we watched Apoku, the Ghanaian centre half at the World Cup, who looked excellent against England. Melia had him on toast in that game against Besiktas. He couldn't deal with him at all. Every single time he just kept doing the same move, like he'd drop in and spin it and run around him.
Yeah.
Like you can't go from playing that many senior first team football appearances into academy football. Like there's a regression there. Yes, there's a technical level that he will learn being at Spurs, but to drop from playing, like there's no substitute for first team football. Same way we said there's no substitute for match minutes. There's no substitute for first team football. No matter how much academy football you play, it is nothing to prepare you for the step into first team football.
Yeah.
So if he moved, like I would, again, whether it's beyond England, whether it's back here, whether it's to League One, whatever it is, like he needs to be playing adult football. Like he's beyond an age now and beyond an experience level where he should be stuck in an academy.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, but I just wouldn't be surprised if it did happen.
Yeah.
Just knowing how these English football clubs tend to work. If he does go anywhere, I imagine it'd be Leighton Orient.
Yeah, why is that?
Because Spurs just tend to send a lot of their young players later, yeah, which is close, and they keep tabs on them, and they're a club who have a good track record of actually giving a lot of minutes to their loan players.
Yeah,
outside of course Jack Morehouse, who didn't get a run out for them at all really last year for one reason or another.
Richard Hogan's been in the comments, and I suppose interestingly as well, we kind of forgot to mention is that Damien Duff is now an assistant coach with Keith Andrews at Brentford. How will Duff benefit Brentford this season?
How will Duff benefit Brentford? How will Brentford benefit Duff?
It's a good question, Richard. Yeah, it's a good question.
First of all, for him, it's a brilliant move. Like, this is class. Mm. Like, gets to go in and work with Keith Andrews. You're not under like the height of pressure because you're going in as a number two. Andrews also now has this like improved reputation after his first year, where there will be a little bit of pressure and expectations on him. But Duff knows that like if he goes in there and they do really well as a team, they could move on together as a team. If they go in there and Keith Andrews ends up getting a call up to go to another club and he moves, like, they have this reputation now of hiring internally. Duff has experience winning a league in a different country. He's an obvious candidate to step in after Andrews goes. It's like, it just seems, I don't want to say it seems too good to be true, but like, it just feels like this is paper made. This is the best possible move that I think Damien Duff could have got. Like, he's not, if he was to go somewhere as a first team manager, he wouldn't be going to the Premier League. Like,
no.
Maybe his name might carry him to the Championship, but Championship clubs don't tend to go for League of Ireland managers. Like, it tends to be League One clubs who will, you know, maybe try and entice him away. He's managed to jump that straight into the Premier League with a real possible eye line on becoming a first choice manager, first team manager at a Premier League club. And he gets to work alongside Keith Andrews, who he knows from playing international football with. Stephen Rice, who we'll see how much longer he's there for, if he stays. But like, for me, this is the best possible move that could have seen Damien Duff go anywhere.
One thing that will kind of slightly disappoint me is that we don't see, at that level of clubs, we don't really see the assistant manager doing too much media or press. And that's something I'd like to see.
I wonder, will that change?
You reckon?
I wonder, will that change?
I think Duff would be quite happy to kind of be in the background and just focus purely on the football side of things.
But you know what will happen? He will, but you know what will happen here? It'll be, you know, March maybe, and he'll be asked to take a press conference or take something, and it'll be like Anthony Barry's interviews for England, where you've gone, everyone in England will be going, where the hell has this guy been? Why isn't he in front of the media all season? This is like...
Yeah, Keith Andrews will get a Gerard Brennan-esque suspension.
No, that's not
happening.
But maybe for, like, you know, a Carabao Cup second round game, because they're probably in the second round, are they? Because,
I remember that used to happen with, this is on a much lower scale, but with the EFL Trophy with Wigan, when Ryan Lowe was managing the team, this has come back to Ireland too. He used to not bother with the going. He didn't go to the games, didn't do anything. He just left it to the assistant manager, who was of course Glenn Whelan. So Glenn Whelan did all the media and all that sort of stuff. So
that's like when you're playing Football Manager and you're just not arsed all those
exactly, yeah.
So he's just like, send, delegate to assistant manager. click. Damien Duff in the Premier League, I think it's just going to be pretty much box office.
If we see any of them, that's a fair point though. Like, we might not see any of them.
Like, Paddy McCarthy is also, you know, assistant manager in the Premier League. I think he still will be under.
Yeah, and Paddy McCarthy got to manage games in the Premier League as well. That's another thing that you get. Like, Paddy is like, went and got to step in as caretaker for a spell. Like, that's another reason why this stuff thing, like, God forbid if something bad would happen to Andrews, but if you're poached by another club, he either takes Duff or Duff steps in momentarily, maybe longer.
Yeah,
I just can't see the downside of this at all.
No, I can't either. No, and it's just a serious, whatever Irish representation we did have at Brentford, it's even more now. Rory Larmer's been in touch in the comments as well, saying, apologies lads, you may have covered it, but Seamus Coleman is being linked to Blackburn, Hull and Wrexham today via Owen Couser. So we did touch on that a little bit earlier on, so if you just scroll back, you'll be able to catch that. But it seems as though he's going to be playing on anyway, regardless.
Green Scene on Off the Ball is with Cadbury's, a proud sponsor of Republic Ireland football teams. Lastly, is there any players that you know of from an Irish persuasion that you'd love to see make a move somewhere?
But there's one that has made a move that I'm quite, I don't know if excited is the right word, but he's just someone that always tends to pop up, and he hasn't really been in and around the squads that much as of late for one reason or another. But Mark Sykes is after getting a really good move to Millwall, and we're not kind of blessed at right back at the minute, considering James Coleman's age and the lack of depth there outside of that. I have a feeling he might not have been involved in the other squads purely because he was a free agent after leaving Bristol City and thought, if I get injured here, I'm screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be intrigued to see how he gets on. Obviously, Millwall were one of the better teams in the Championship last year and would be annoyed with themselves that they didn't eventually go up. You know, they were very close automatically and then really disappointed against Hull in the playoff semi-final. So I'd be intrigued to see how he gets on. We mentioned Millie Ali earlier on. I'd like to see him get back into the Championship. He was a pretty good player to watch, at the very least, from what we've seen of him in the Ireland camps, particularly over in Murcia, albeit not against the best of opposition. Evan Ferguson, obviously, John O'Shea talked about that as well. If you want to go and listen to that too, it's in the podcast feeds. But he said that we'll give it 2 months and see where he's at. So that was interesting to me that he said 2 months. It's not something we didn't already know, but we've seen videos of him online. He's whip writing and he's doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, whatever he is doing. So
yeah.
That's someone, of course, you want to keep an eye on. But I imagine it'll be January before he goes anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. There is going to be loads of moves. I don't know, Ben, if you have anyone on the top of your mind.
Something very interesting in that John O'Shea interview. What could he have possibly said?
He said he's encouraging players to go to the continent.
Go to the continent. Mm. I thought that was actually refreshing.
But he did say that Evan Ferguson wasn't one of them.
No. Yeah.
He said he didn't need that.
No.
So. He would know a lot more than what everyone else needs about Evan Ferguson.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to hear your international managers putting in an opinion to the clubs and to yourselves about where they think you should go. And you do often think of, do these clubs in England have the best interests of the Irish players at heart?
Well, no, they're thinking of what...
Exactly.
You know. Whereas I don't even think they have the best interest of the English talent at hire.
There's money to be made in that. So.
Yeah, true.
But it's interesting just here, that they're actively looking out long-term for the future of these guys at both an international and club level. And one of those players, Sinclair Armstrong to Gaztepe. Yes. This is
he scored the other day,
this is a proper football manager signing. Ramal Palmer, Patrick Athletic old player, old club.
Yeah.
Finished sixth. We were looking at this. Finished sixth in the Turkish league. Narrowly missed out in European football, which could be a good thing.
Yeah.
Could be a very good thing for him to not have to worry about that in the first season.
I think he scored in his debut in pre-season friendly or something there the other day.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen Evan Ferguson scoring his debut in pre-season for Roma, and look how that happened.
Mm. There's one other player we didn't mention.
Don't do that.
Talking about pre-season. Jaden Umeh in Benfica, who picked up we'll see what happens with the injury, but Emerson Royal, lads, is one who... Yeah. Injured him 20 minutes into the game. Flamengo versus Benfica today.
Get a life, mate.
What is Emerson Royal doing still kicking a ball about at a decent club level?
Yeah.
What's going on
and
there?
Kicking
young lads about.
Brazilian football is a bit of a joke. But maybe that's where we kind of move on to very, very lastly. We have the World Cup semi-finals taking place. Obviously the big game, England-Argentina. Could you imagine Declan Rice on Sunday evening winning and lifting the World Cup?
Could I imagine it? I don't think it's beyond the... I think England wins tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think
I've said that on record before.
I said that as well.
I just think...
I hope I'm wrong.
What do we do if England do win the World Cup?
I don't care. A grand,
How can you not
say... I don't care. No, it's not that I don't care. I'll rephrase that, okay? Your question was, what do we do if England win the World Cup? I'm not going to do anything. It's not going to have any bearing on my day or anything that I do. I'd rather it not happen, for sure. I'll put my phone down for a couple of days. It'll be annoying, for sure. I'll be cheering against them. Grand. But I honestly don't care to the degree at which it warrants answering the question.
What
are you going to do if they win it?
Well, it's going to be terrible for a couple of days. For a while.
Yeah.
Imagine the homecoming in London next week.
I'm not going to be in London. I'm going to be here.
Yeah, I know. But we have to, we just consumed by English media. So it's we got Sky Sports News on there on repeat.
Yeah, well, everyone listening can turn off for Sky Sports News and put on their off-ball breakfast and their off-ball evening show and forget about it.
Yeah, well, we'll have to probably speak about England too, though.
Well, at least we can all wallow in it together.
Sure, that's all that we do
anyway. I don't think they're going to win it anyway. I think France will probably win it.
I think
that'll probably age badly. If you're listening to this on Wednesday and Spain have beaten France, I apologise.
I think I could see Argentina getting too wound up for this.
Mm.
I think talking about the play acting stuff, people are I saw some people saying the only team who can match England with that, falling on the floor and screaming every time there's a bit of contact, that certain Harry Kane has been doing quite a lot in the tournament, is Argentina. But I think Argentina could actually take it too far.
I don't know.
And I don't know, this is to Argentina. Yeah, there you go. The guy who has the guy's a t-shirt of Diego Maradona What cap does he have on?
Fidel Castro.
It is a Castro cap, yeah. I think, like, to Argentina, obviously, this means everything. This bunch of England players, like, they don't really care about Argentina. It's not a big thing to them.
No.
Whereas to the Argentina boys, this is everything.
It's the biggest game.
This is Brazil. Like, this is Brazil and England, they're the two. Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know. Is there just a chance that Argentina get so engrossed in the rivalry and in shithousery that it ends up becoming too far and we end up seeing, like, Cristian Romero get sent off or just booting someone?
Yeah, I don't know. I said this on the Inside the Odds show earlier. I think all 25 of the 26 players in that Argentina squad would take a literal bullet for Messi. I think they would do anything to see him in another World Cup final and maybe perhaps end his international career with a second World Cup, which I think would just be mental. So
there is
does
also,
that get them over the line? England have a bit of infighting with Tuchel and Bellingham. I think that's actually quite a positive thing for them as well.
Well, when you've Harry Kane coming out and calling out the television broadcasters, it's probably not the best thing in the world.
It's a siege mentality, though. Yeah, you know, scumbag mentality. Media, you know, don't believe
Grant.
Anything what they're scumbag all out
together. The only thing is you say there about them taking a bullet from Messi. Well, if they decide to go on the pitch and do something as daft and drastic as taking a bullet for someone in the context of going and, you know, putting their body on the line and maybe taking somebody else out and getting a red card in the same way that if they took a bullet, they'd probably die, it would be mean they would have a less player or two on the pitch.
Yeah, but Scaloni, I think Scaloni, that's Leland Scaloni.
Scaloni ain't going to be on the pitch.
Does a great job of calming stuff down. We've seen in the press conference before the game.
He has done up until this
anyway,
point.
Anyway, very, very quickly, who wins the World Cup?
France.
Sometimes football quality beats a bullet and France are going to win the whole thing.
France are going to win the whole thing. Yeah, I think so too. But that's all we have time for on today's Green Scene. Thanks very much for getting involved. Thanks very much for getting the comments. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Brona. We'll chat again, hopefully very soon.
The Green Scene on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football team.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.